Hello. I'm talking about challenges in end-to-end IT automation, end-to-end automation of IT processes, more organizational theme, not so technical for today. My name is Jochen Kellner. Something about myself. My current role is being a service architect. Formerly, I was SAP BasisAdmin team lead for a Basis team, and I'm working right now for a large IT system house. Our environment has lots of SAP systems, large SAP systems, lots of users. Is right now a very volatile environment. We have upgrades, we have conversions, we have system copies, you name it. And also a factor what we need to be aware of is security of our systems. The agenda I've prepared for today is first the motivation why I think it's a good idea to talk about what we do with IT processes. We'll have a short look at what we consider IT processes, and we will see that lots of things are not IT that we do. I will talk about the challenges we are right now facing. We will discuss some solutions. You see the question mark. This is still kind of research what we are doing. I will look at the things that will block us, that are impediments for us, and we'll have a really short wrap-up at the end. If you have any questions, raise your hand and we can talk. Otherwise, also at the end. The motivation that we have is that IT systems are getting more and more complex, more systems, more diverse environments. We have less people doing the work. If we look at the workforce, lots of people are nearing the retirement. And from our customers, we see more work required to get faster, to deliver systems faster, to do upgrades faster, just do more work. And what we see at work is that we have a large organization, and we see that the Taylorism that we have divides the tasks in many, many small tasks, and that way we have to switch a lot between the teams, and that's something that really pushes us back. The rough estimation that we have, if we change the processing agent for a manual task in a change, you can more or less count a day before the task gets done, even if it is a 10-minute task or whatever. And behind that, we see that the workflow or the task distribution can be optimized for execution time, so the whole workflow gets done in a short time. We can optimize for throughput or for utilization for the workers. And if you really optimize for the utilization of the workers, you have a large backlog of tasks, and the flow of work through the organization takes a really long time. And that's something that doesn't help to get faster. I will short look at IT processes. If you look at ITIL, there is a change process defined. There is a request for change that is created from the customer or internally or from an incident or whatever. The change is organized, is planned, is approved, and then from the request of change, we have a change. Then we really do the technical thing that we want to do. Finally, the change gets closed, the document the task gets documented in the change tool, and the requester gets a message that this change is finally done. And often we have tasks that take a couple of minutes on a system, and we spend twice or even four times the time needed to do the change just to create the whole IT change process. And that's really bad. Another view on changes is that the technical change that we see is, from my point of view, more or less a solved problem. We have change management tools like Salt, like Ansible, Chef Puppet, you name it. And that enables us to get changes on IT systems really fast and really reliable applied. Where we are currently working on is, how can we change our IT processes so that we can leverage the better tools and enable us to shorten the IT processes for us. Means the idle processes. What we also have in lots of changes is that we need to update the configuration management database, some admin tools where we manage DNS, reserve IP addresses, and so on. And what we, as a service provider, really need to do, in my point of view, is that we need to think along the whole process from the customer giving us some work to do until we finally get the result back to the customer. And that's something that is really, really hard, because we have lots of teams, lots of silos, and that is something that we need to work on. And finally, a thought about IT processes. How do we measure if a process is complex or not? There are lots of things you can measure, you can try. Nothing is really applicable to all the changes that we see that are really, really different for us. Sometimes you can just count the manual steps in a change, you can count the agents that are working on a change, the processing time for the steps, the work needed. This is often some other time than the processing time. What I kind of like to measure is the size of the data that I need for processing the change. We've heard two talks ago that it's often better to have all the needed information at the start of the process, and you can tailor the rest of the process so that it fits, and you don't have, oh, here's some data missing, I don't understand what you want from here, and something like this. And for a server installation, I found years ago a simple quote, just how many forms has the requester to fill to get a server installed in their data center. And that can be really, really horrible. So what are the challenges that we need to overcome to get better at IT service processes? First of all, you need to get cooperation from all the parties that are stakeholders in the processes. And this is really, really difficult, because everybody has his work and has no time. And no, we have just upgraded our system, or the next upgrade is just before us. And no, we can't currently think about changes on our processes. And what we've done the last couple of years was to get seats when we talk about, yes, we have the problem, let us see if we can sometimes in the future maybe talk about that. And what we see is that a couple of years later, some of these seeds really bring fruits for us. And if another stakeholder just gets to us and says, oh, we are thinking about a new tool or another process that we want to implement, we use the opportunity, we go in the discussion and really talk about what we together need to do to get better at that. The thing that has, from my opinion, the most impact is to get all the needed information from the start so that each agent really can start his work, don't need to search for something, have questions, whatever. Just do your work and everything must be ready to do the work. For automation, if we look at that, it's really useful to have the data structured so that we can use scripts, configuration management to use the data, work with it, and work on the systems. What we have right now is lots of Excel sheets, lots of manual prosa work descriptions. That's not really helpful to do automation. So we do a lot of work to get data structured at a central place so we can use it for automation from the different teams and work together with the same data set. That is also quite a useful thing. When we talk about a change or a service request or a process in general, there are some points that define that. It's a start. It's a defined input, what needs to be available to do the task, predefined steps, so it is clear what needs to be done. Finally, an end or an end date, and hopefully a reproducible outcome. And if I look at our manual processes on the IT systems, the start is probably okay, but the input is often not as good as it could be. The predefined steps are mostly working, but not every time. And reproducible is really a problem for us. We talk about, we are doing all the same. We are standardized. But our standard is everybody just does it like he likes it. So what we are hoping to get sometime is that we can use the request data that the requester, the customer stores in the change or somewhere else, to use that directly into the automation. But of course, we need to verify the input. So does the host name exist? Does the SAP system really exist? Is it the right release so that the change could possibly work? And what we also have in lots of changes is update documentation in the CMDB, as the configuration management database. And that's right now a manual process for us that is error-prone, and that shows that our CMDB is not as good as we would like it to have it as a base for more and better automation. So that's something we are looking at to get the CMDB better. And if we do all this right, the question is, do we need an ITIL change? Or if there is a service request and every data is correct and the service request gets handled automatically and logged and can be audited, Do I need a change? If we can answer that question with no, we don't need a change. A lot of manual work for planning, organizing, and working with the change can just vanish. And that's something we are looking at, the solutions we are thinking about. We try to make manual tasks and processes vanish. So in the past, we did a change to just configure a system, to update a software, to roll out a script, whatever. And every couple of months, we do the same change over and over again. What we are now doing is, let's make a change to implement an automat that can do the task whenever it is needed. So the whole ITIL process just vanishes for us. What we need to do is have logging so that we can look at the system and see what has been done to the system. What's also useful but needs cooperation between the interested parties is exposure of APIs so that we can use the APIs instead of manual processes. For example, right now, when we do DNS configuration, we have a web overview, web interface, and you just make a service request to add an IP address and a DNS name for it. And a day or two later, you get a mail, oh, the request is fulfilled, thank you very much. If you have an API, and most of the tools right now have APIs, and we can use them, it makes it really, really easy for us to get the information that is already there, that we have machine readable, just put it into the system that's needed. What's also from the implementation, a really good idea was the configuration management tools with the desired state. So you describe how you want the system to look like at the end, what is the end result that we want to have. And whenever we apply the salt state, the Ansible play, whatever, if the system is okay, it's just okay. So it's idempotent, it doesn't make any problems. And that's really helpful for our automation, that we can just push the automation and say, hey, is the system as we want it? Then it's okay. And that's something maybe when we're working with APIs that we need to think about how to make the APIs also idempotent. And what we currently do is Excel Ops, I call it that. We do lots of lists in Excel, what systems, what software, what configuration, whatever needs to be done. And the Excel is sent around, put on the change, whatever. Couple of years ago, I heard a talk at the FrostCon, and there someone presented GitOps as a concept, and that's a whole new thinking in the GitOps world. You just make commits in a Git repository, which describes your complete IT infrastructures. Maybe your VM needs more CPU, more RAM, whatever, and you commit the change, you push it, your IT infrastructures recognizes there is a change, looks at the infrastructure, and forces it into the way you wanted it to be. That's something that's for most of our people is right now unbelievable that such thing can work. And that's something we work on to get the people thinking about automation, think about what processes are really, really useful, what helps us, and what is a process that we don't need anymore because we have other tools, we have lots of things learned in the past, and that's something that takes lots and lots of small steps, but each of these steps helps us to get better. So, what is an impediment for us? So, what takes us away from our goal? A really big one is institutional inertia, Beharrung Vermögen in Germany. And that was a couple of years something that was just in beton, in concrete. So it was almost impossible to get changes done. But what we are seeing due to the smaller workforce and also from our management is we need to change. We must think about automation. We must think about our processes. We need to get better. And so we see that lots of our colleagues are thinking about these things, maybe not as we like it, but the thinking starts to change, and that's a good sign for us. The next thing that really doesn't help for us is whenever someone needs a defined list of servers, just give me an Excel, just give me the list. And this is something I want to change because the list, at the time I store it on disk and send it by mail or whatever, the list is old. The systems have really changed in the past so fast that it doesn't work to store copies of the list. So we need to use our CMDB more to have selects in the CMDB that tell us, oh, these are really the systems that we need to think about. Another problem that we had is that lots of people do their processes from their inner view. What information do I need to do my process steps to get my goal, my Ergebnis, my finish. So what we also try to change is to look at the processes from the requester. As a requester, I just want to get a server. I don't want to talk about capacity management, IP address management, backup, whatever. I just need that server. So if I can provide all the information needed to produce a server for me, the processes in the background can just work, of course. We need a capacity management, we need a pay address management, but it's nothing that the requester needs to do in a ping pong with every stakeholder that there is in the company. And this ping pong, this takes a lot of time and questions and so on. What we also like to change is manual data entry, often in Excel or in other tools. If we have the information already, we should just use it and make APIs, interfaces, whatever we need to do that. And what's really, really horrible is duplicate data entry. If we do produce a new server, I have no idea how often I type the host name and the IP address. That's at least more than 10 times. I guess far, far, far more. So that's something we need to think about, that we have a single source of truth and can work from that. But to get that in a large IT infrastructure, that's really, really hard. So I was pretty fast. The wrap up, what are the main points from my point of view? As I already talked, the technical automation with configuration management, with APIs, with whatever you can think of, is more or less a soft problem. What we've seen in another talk today is we have the tools, we can just move the tasks around, maybe turn the process from the bottom up to get a better result at the end. And that's a key point for me. We have lots and lots of tools, we just need to use them creatively and can have success, yes. What I think is really helpful is remove manual processes, manual steps. These are error-prone, they take a lot of time, and most of the steps don't produce any value for the customer. So at each time someone takes a pen or a keyboard and does something manual, that's something we need to look at. I had a presentation with a description, manual work is a bug. That's something that maybe describes how to look at these. You have a bug, you can log it, you can work on it, and maybe solve it. Or maybe it takes a long time, but you can rethink the task and work around it. What I guess will help us is use existing data instead of re-entering in it manual in the first time, in free-form texts, in Word formulas or something like that. That's something we need to work on to get that reduced. What's really, really helpful for the processes we had is get all the information first. Take your time to get the host name, the IP address, the network, whatever you name it, if you have it completely defined, and then you can push it into an automat and it can just work it out. So, and this is also true for manual processes. If you don't have all the information ready for a manual processor, he calls you and asks and you need to talk and wait and whatever, and that's not good. On the other hand, you need to know what are the needed informations. If you don't know that, you will always hunt around and waste time. And what's also useful for us is to fail fast. We have lots of changes running for a week or two, and just as the last day of the required time is over, someone gets back to you and, oh, I just looked at the change and I see this information is missing. If we could get this feedback earlier, it would make us lots faster. And also, fail safe, just not do something that is stupid, just call and say, oh, that didn't work out, just let's talk. The key takeaway I've defined for me is what I want to do with processes in the IT. First, eliminate a process that isn't there, just doesn't produce work. And if I come to the conclusion I need to have this process, then I can think about to optimize it, to rearrange the steps, to make the interfaces between the agents faster, something like that. And finally, once you have a process that is defined, that is reliable, then we can in the end automate it and let the computer do the work that's not really helping the customer to get the value from us. So, that's from me. Do you have any questions or remarks?
You mentioned on slide 6, on the last point, that if I remember correctly, one should align processes along the core value chain throughout the organization, which I completely agree with. A big challenge I see with that is, can one really bring all people aboard? Because that also means that anyone in different functions needs to understand how the value chain for that organization looks like. Do you think, how much of that do you think is feasible, or how in particular would that work?
You won't get the whole view defined. If you have a look at the process analysis that has been done in the 70s or 80s, there has been lots of people thinking about processes, how to document them, and also how to optimize them. So we are late for the party, I think. And that's a whole rabbit hole of work. From my experience, you can get two teams together, maybe a third one, and work on the interfaces between these teams and get something useful done. If it gets much bigger, I guess you have another problem. No, that was there. You need to sow the seeds so that people can start thinking about it. And once they are ready to talk about it and think, oh, maybe we should think about it, you need to get a critical mass. And that's really, really difficult to get more than two or three teams together that are able to change now.
Yep, right. I fully agree. I can say that also from my experience, I have the same. In my position, we are sometimes the one requesting and relying on others, as well as being the one that is being relied upon. And then we are trying to bring people together and, you know, form that seeds. But I must say, one must be really patient to grow that over a long time to work out, right?
Yes, it's take a lot of patience, but if I look back the last 2, 3, 4 years, the patience begins to pay. So we see the change, we see the motivation to talk to each other, to have a look at the processes that we do together. So yes, it takes a lot of patience, it takes a lot of repetition to always talk about, we want to do that, this is the tools we have, we can help you, we let's look at the interface. And small steps help. If you have done 3, 4 small steps, it's a leap, yes. So,
I just need to make an announcement afterward. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So, thank you for listening. Thanks for the question. Hope you can enjoy the rest of the conference. So, thanks again.
Thank you.